Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is draft day, April 23rd, 2020. Hopefully you guys are staying safe wherever you are and, of course, staying indoors. And we'll all get through this together. It's the second hour of our show. Craig Mish, along with Joe Pizzapia, who's in the house for Joe Ranieri. And Joe is Joe Pizzapia with me. Joe Ranieri working on the draft tonight. We've got our big special tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern. And I know that Joe, we're all real fired up for this one. We have not had a lot to look forward to in sports, and the draft is not something that I obsess over every year, but I got to say I am way more into it this year than I have been in years past. There's just is not a lot happening, and so I think the entire sports world and gambling world is going to be gravitating over to us tonight.
Yeah, that's the amazing part, too, is the gambling world of who's going to go where and how much. I feel like that has heated up so much year over year. Man, maybe it's because of the void of other sports. I'm sure that's a good part of it. But it's also part of sports wagering and how it's grown so much even year over year and will continue to grow as other states and other places allow it. And look, it's, again, fantasy, wagering, it's how we consume the games. And there's things that I'm going to miss about the NFL draft. I'm going to miss everybody booing Roger Goodell. I'm going to boo him from home. I hope everyone else does.
Okay.
I will not miss the weird breaks of having some sort of, I don't know, some random performance by somebody, which I, again, these weird things happen at the NFL draft. Like, oh, let's throw it off here to this random country music act or this random hip hop artist. Or I will not miss any of that. I will miss some of those feel good moments where somebody gets to go to the podium and give somebody, that draft card. You know, you always like that. I know the NFL does a really good job with that. And we're going to miss, I think, those moments where the kids get to hold up that jersey of that team for the first time. So how are they going to do that? Are they going to have like just boxes of jerseys in front of the kids and they're just going to go and run to whatever box is that team and just pull it out and that's the one that they're going to have?
I think the hat is likely. The
jerseys just the hat
would seem to be unlikely, but I would think that they could pull it off with the
I hat. Think Joe Burrow will get a jersey, don't you?
I think Joe Burrow will get a jersey. I think Chase Young will have a jersey. I think Tua probably has.
They give him three jerseys.
A few jerseys. Yeah, but CeeDee Lamb, I don't think, has a jersey. I don't know. Listen, who knows? Maybe he will. It's fascinating for everybody to be able to watch tonight. There could be a lot of technical stuff happening. Who knows? But I think that's going to be just as much of the story.
Is anyone betting on that? Is anyone betting on technical difficulties?
There are props that we are not allowed to talk about here on this show, unfortunately, because we can't apply those. So, but gotcha. FanDuel does not have them. Let's just put it that way. So, got to move on from there.
Gotcha.
Wanted to touch on the Buccaneers here a little bit in this segment, because although me and Joe Ranieri yesterday, we did sort of get into it here. We can get into it a little bit deeper with you, Joe, because you have followed and have been a Patriots fan for a long period of time, and I think that you're going into your first year as a Patriots fan uncertain for the first time in a long time. But before we get to the Patriots, I want to get to the Bucs. Like, what are they doing here? Like, I get it. It's funny. Somebody asked me for a comparison, and I have a baseball comparison, actually.
Yeah. It's the Marlins, right?
The Marlins won a World Series by signing all of those players, but they're all in their prime. And Gary Sheffield was in his prime. Moises Alou was in his prime. Bonilla was in his prime. Kevin Brown was in his prime.
True.
This reminds me of the team that plays 20 miles from them, the Rays. When they signed Canseco and Wade Boggs and Fred McGriff, like Gronk may be headed to the Hall of Fame. Brady's headed to the Hall of Fame, but you're getting them at the end. Yeah. And I know Barry Sanders had a really funny tweet the other day, essentially saying, that he's not coming back to play. And Calvin Johnson's name has been thrown out there. And everyone is sort of poking fun at it. But, like, I look at Tampa Bay and all this inflation on their odds to win and their win totals and all that. And look, I think Brady will probably be good. I'm not sure, but I think he'll probably be good. But this is probably going to be an under for me in every possible way that I could find with the Buccaneers this year. They're going to just be so heavily inflated with popularity, but popularity doesn't really equal wins. I'm not rooting against Brady. I mean, I would love to see him play well. I'd love to see him play in the Super Bowl again. It'd be great. But Brady and Gronk reunited for this. I mean, we should be talking a lot more about the other two receivers that he has. I mean, that's really the key to the Bucs this year.
Well, I think the one is Godwin, too. That's the guy to keep your eye on, because that's the guy that fits. And now that Gronk is there, too, will they be running a lot of two tight end sets? Will they have him and O.J. Howard? Because they haven't moved O.J. Howard yet, as of us recording.
Not as of this show.
As of this show. That hasn't happened yet.
Maybe it happened during the show. We missed
it. Maybe it happened during the show. Maybe not. Who knows? What I'm saying is, media coverage does not always equal wins. We've seen a lot of great mercenary teams over the years. Some have success, like the 96 Yankees, a team that had Jimmy Key and David Cone and Daryl Strawberry and Prince Fielder and Wade Boggs, right? A bunch of guys towards the end of their career for the most part, too, and they were able to win. Tim Raines was on that team, right? It reminds me of the 96 Yankees more than anything, because that was a team that had a good young core, had guys like, you could say Evans and Godwin on it, right? You could put that. You don't see this in the NFL very often, where because it's usually a young man's game where you have some older players coming in. The funny thing with Gronk is he's only 30. So age-wise, he's not old. But I can tell you from watching the last year of Gronk, I felt like he had lost a step, a significant step. And everybody knew it. And you got the last effort out of him, in that run in the playoffs. And it was good enough to get by and good enough to get one more ring. And then he signed that deal with WWE this past year for a year, which is down in Orlando where the Performance Center is. You know, they're up in Connecticut, but the Performance Center is where they're doing a lot of stuff out of. And it makes sense. He's already basically in that Florida area. So why not put Gronk with a guy? I think a lot of the draw is Arians, too. Wouldn't you say that getting to play for the anti-Belichick, because I love Bruce Arians, but he is the anti-Belichick in every possible way.
In that sense, yes. But I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joe and I talked about this yesterday. But it doesn't seem like Arians has really utilized the tight end position.
No, he hasn't. And that's the thing.
I probably should have done a better job of this, looking this up before the show. But is Heath Miller essentially the only tight end that's had any kind of production?
Basically, yeah. I mean, even in the short stint with the Colts there, it wasn't a huge tight end offense. It never has been. But here's the difference. He's also never had Tom Brady. He had a young Ben Roethlisberger, who he helped make into something. He had a young Andrew Luck, where he could basically lay out everything. And they had an older Carson Palmer, who was adaptable at that point in his career. Tom Brady is going to go in and tell you what Tom Brady wants to do and how Tom Brady wants to do it. And I think you let Tom Brady do those things. So the question is, what's left in the Gronk tank? The question is, can Brady adapt to a different scenario? And I think no matter what, it's going to be great television. It's going to be fun to watch. Whether or not it equates to wins, I don't know, because we've seen a lot of other mercenary teams like the Lakers with, you know, Karl Malone and Gary Payton. And we've seen the 92 Mets. Remember when they had like Eddie Murray and Willie Randolph and all those guys, and it just bombed out. And I remember, too, the Mo Vaughn, Jeremy Burnett's Mets, too, bombed out. You know,
given good example. Yeah.
There's you have these two different ends of the spectrum where you can bring in the mercenary team of the veterans who have been there, mix them with the young guys, and it works. And then you have the times where you bring in the veterans and it just completely falls apart too. And it's going to be one or the other. And the problem is too, Craig, no matter who you add to this team, aren't they still looking up at the Saints? I mean, look at that Saints roster. It's incredible the talent that roster has. I don't know what they need in the draft. Maybe a linebacker because Kiko's hurt. I mean, that'd be the one place I would go if I'm them.
No, the Saints will be the favorite. But look, the Bucs have to be improved just eliminating mistakes. I mean you're losing 25 interceptions potentially this year.
Speaking of mistakes too, that's the one thing when you go back, and I'm sure you could point to it too, when you look at the Tampa Bay season of 2019, mistakes were the undoing of it. Like you can't throw 30 plus picks and you can't put that much pressure on a defense and you can't do all those things. The one thing that Brady at this point in his career is going to do is you imagine he's still going to protect the football pretty well and not be a turnover machine the way Winston was. And if he just anything close to that kind of Tom Brady again, why can't you win 10 games? I think 10 wins is very reasonable. I'm curious, do you know offhand what they're setting that bar at, or nine. That hasn't come out yet?
Nine?
I think 10 is very achievable for that team. Now, the question is, what do they do with a running game to try to balance this offense?
But that's what's troubling to me with this whole Buccaneer situation, is that very similar to Denver's, where they bring in Royce Freeman and then they bring in another running back there. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a little of that with Tampa Bay. Like, I mean, you just drafted. I'm not saying Ronald Jones is good because I don't think he is. But you just drafted Ronald Jones. I mean, just within the last 2 years, drafted O.J. Howard. Like, do you really think you went wrong? And that's why we know the Bucs are all in on this year. I mean, you're punting those two guys. Like, essentially. Right. The Bucs are coming out of this with a running back out of this draft. The top guys we know, but they're going to have somebody in this draft.
Look, if anybody who's watched the Patriots the last 4 or 5 years knows, the last 4 or 5 years they've propped up Brady considerably with a running game, whether it be Sony Michel, James White, whether it be Deion Lewis, they are utilizing the running backs. And look, Brady's also realized, too, the Edelman short passing game is their version of a run game. So it's kind of the same thing. You know, Brady's not going to throw the ball downfield the way James Winston can. I'm not saying he can't throw the ball downfield. They're just not in the same way with the same frequency and the same strength that Winston can. So Godwin's the guy that you love here. But I don't understand. Like, last year, both those guys went over 1,000 yards. Both those guys were top 10 fantasy wide receivers. You're not going to just drop in 40-something-year-old Tom Brady and they're going to get better than that. So I think one of them is going to lose out, and my money's on Evans, personally.
I mean, it could be. I mean, look, Arians is a guy that no matter who the quarterback there is, the guy is airing it out, and maybe this is Brady's last dance with
Well, it's definitely his last dance, but at the same time, if I asked you, with Gronkowski coming back, do you think that there's enough to the narrative of, I had a year off, my body feels really good? Your body can feel great, but it doesn't mean you haven't lost a step.
I'll tell you this. Yesterday on the show, I came up with a Craig Mish gambling line, and I'll throw the same thing through Joe Ranieri. And Joe thought it was a good line, because when I give you a line, here's how I know that I give you something good.
I go like this.
If you go, then I know I got you. If you give me an answer right away, then I know it's a bad line.
All right. I got a number in my head. Let's do it.
So the total amount of catches for Gronkowski in 2020. So that's what we're going to do here. I'm giving you your 5 seconds to think about it. Total amount of catches. And I'm setting the line at 37.5 catches.
Over.
Joe went under.
Yeah, see, I think that's an over. I mean, even the last season he had, didn't he catch 60 balls? 40, okay. It was only 40. He did miss time that season too.
That's what we were discussing yesterday. That's what he was banking on too. He was saying,
he's missing on time. Yeah,
16 games, you know. Listen, yeah. I don't know the answer to that, but that I'm trying to create action on both sides. I'm trying to create action where then it worked out perfect that he thought under, you think over. That's what we want.
Yeah, I mean, if he plays 16 games, it's an easy
over. Oh, yeah, of course it's an easy over.
Well,
yeah.
But you can't necessarily do that, too, because you could be looking at Gronkowski as coming in there and being more of just a red zone
right.
threat.
But,
like,
but
he could be a special tight end at this point.
12 games and 3 catches per game does not put him over.
That is true. That is true. And look, I think everybody should temper their expectations. It's a great story. And in, again, this time where there's nothing going on, being able to conjecture about it, being able to think about it, and wonder, yeah. It's fun. It's crazy to see Tom Brady in another uniform. It's crazy Gronko with him. Is Edelman next? Who knows? All I know is this, that if you think for a second that the guy who won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants and then brought the Browns to the playoffs and then went out and won for the last 20 years in New England is not the main reason why they continuously win every year, then I don't think you've been paying attention. And I'm not knocking Brady. I think he's the GOAT. But at the same time, if you're going to tell me that, you know, Tom Brady's got an expiration date. I don't know when Bill Belichick's expiration date is. He's going to go when he's going to
find out soon.
But isn't this what they've always done? Whether it be
they've always had Brady, though.
But they have, but they've always done this. They've always tried to get out before the expiration date. Whether it be Richard Seymour, whether it be Vinatieri, whether it be Jerry McGinnis, whether it be Mike Vrabel. It is. It's always different. And the reason they didn't do it 2 years ago.
This is above all those other
things. It is. But remember, 2 years ago, they had the same option. Do we go with Garoppolo or will we move on with Brady? And because it was Brady, Kraft talked them into let's go one more raw. Let's do it. One more dance, one more ride. And they did. And they got another Super Bowl out of it, so it worked. Last year was it. Bill Belichick has already been pushed to the limit of how long he's going to hold Tom Brady because he knows there's an expiration. That's the nature of the
game. That's true, but if the Patriots win 8 games this year and Bill Belichick retires after next year, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't know. No one knows.
But if it did,
you'd look back and go, wow, like what was the point of all that? Anything can happen in the NFL.
I think Brady put it best, Craig, when he said, you know, It is kind of a silly comparison because he's the best at what he does and I think I'm the best at what I do, or at least I try to be. And that's true. And when you put those kind of people together in a room, good things happen. It's the same thing with, you know, I think Phil Jackson's a hell of a basketball coach. You give him Michael Jordan, you're going to be dominant. You give him Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal, you're going to be dominant. And we've seen that in sports line up. And I don't think anybody wouldn't say Phil Jackson's a great basketball coach. You would agree, right?
Of course.
Right. So, I mean, sometimes we get that in sports and that's the stuff that dynasties are made of, and we're very lucky to have had it. And speaking of guys coming back too, Gronk's not the only one. It was like Percy Harvin's trying to work his way back. Do you think somebody will take a shot on him?
I think he was running at Florida Field, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, he's in phenomenal shape. If you've seen the
workout. Yeah, I mean, look, he's very smart. Whoever is representing him and doing his marketing, this is the exact day to do it. This is the exact time to do it. Let everybody know. You know, anybody posting any video of doing anything in this day and age is the right thing to do. I personally don't think Percy Harvin has any.
I think he gets an invite to a camp somewhere.
Of course he will. Oh, come on. That goes without saying. But
once upon a time, he was quite a talent.
I'm a Gator. You don't have to tell me. He was one of my favorite players ever there. But, Joe, he is one hit away in the noggin from being done again.
Well, this is another guy, too.
Migraines that he had over and over again.
Oh, yeah. And I think some of those migraines also just your head hurts from trying to play for the Jets some years.
Did he play for the Jets?
He did for a short time.
Garvin? Yeah.
He bounced around there towards the end, I believe. I'm almost 100% sure. I'll go double check it on the break. But, I mean, I want to say there was a year there for the Jets.
I got to check that right.
But Percy Harvin did kind of bounce around for a little bit. Go ahead, check and see if I'm right. Maybe I –
You
maybe
may I'm, be. I mean, you could be. I just don't even remember
I thought there
that
was a year there where Percy Harvin was a Jet. But, I mean, again, it would start out with the Vikings, and then where'd it go from there? I don't know if you pull it up real quick. Who are the Percy Harvin strangers?
He played 1 year with the Jets.
Right here. That's why I have no hair. All the knowledge.
But he went to Seattle, I guess, for the end of it or something.
That's where it was. Seattle's where he finished. I couldn't remember where he finished.
And then Buffalo.
Oh, that's right. He had that ended. Oh, that's right. Oh, he had a couple moments with Seattle every now and then, the flash. But, hey, who knows?
Let me do this in closing. I'll give you the Gronk touchdown total. You want to take a stab at this one? Again, these are not real lines. These are my lines.
4.
3.5 was the number.
Okay, yeah.
Three and a half.
I'll go over. I'll go over
that one. I feel a little bit better on the over.
That could be one big game.
We're on the 1 yard line, you know, spike it in the end zone.
I think that's what you do. You Gronk is still a tight. Gronk is
what Gates was at the end.
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going. Make him the red zone tight end. Let OJ Howard still be out there a little bit, and all of a sudden, I think you've got something. Gronk's just there for the party, man. He's just there for the ride.
That's what I'm here to.
Me too.
Is the pandemic party. And coming up next, it is time for us to do our little fantasy stadium tour. So we're going to go through one college football stadium, one college basketball stadium today, and we'll be back on Sports Grid right after this. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, we got Joe Pisapia in the house as Joe Ranieri's got the morning off. But of course, later tonight, you'll catch him on our NFL draft coverage. It all starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. Make sure you are on our website, sportsgrid.com. That's sportsgrid.com. Follow us on social media at sportsgrid, also on Instagram, although I don't have an Instagram. I'm told that you can head over to Instagram and follow us there. We'll be posting a lot of great videos, information, and news. We're covering this draft from a fantasy perspective, but that's the small piece. We are covering this draft from a betting perspective like nobody ever has. So make sure you tune in tonight. Everyone will be involved in it. Joe, I'm looking forward to watching tonight, sitting back and watching something live on television.
I'm looking forward to you getting an Instagram account or maybe a little Craig Mish TikTok dancing. Maybe we can get some of that.
I'm not going down those roads, man.
I don't get the TikTok thing. I don't get it. You don't have anything. You're like,
I don't have
you're these guys. You got nothing. You got Twitter. That's it.
That's it.
He does the Twitter. That's it for Craig Mish. That's all he's got.
I'll tell you what happened, interestingly enough.
Oh, story time. Okay.
I do have an Instagram now because I was getting so annoyed of going to Instagram but not being able to see anything.
I see.
So with my email address, I simply created like just a blank account. I didn't name it. I didn't do anything with it. And there was, I don't know if you remember, a couple weeks ago, there was a DJ, D Nice is his name, and he was doing a whole party in his house and all that stuff. So I wanted to see it, and I wanted to watch it live, and you have to click on that Instagram Live thing. So my wife doesn't have Instagram either, and I wasn't gonna, my daughter has it, but I wasn't going to take her phone. So basically, I signed up for it. I got some weird name. I don't even know what it's called, and I'm in. So I was able to watch all the stuff on Instagram. But the problem was is because I put my email address in there, somebody got smart somehow and found me.
The worst.
And put like a friend request. And I didn't say anything about it one way there because I don't want to get started with that. I do not want to have
it. Craig Mish is all tapped out on friends. That's it.
He's hit the level. I may have to have one. It may have to happen for work purposes, but you know, and I don't want any other things to have to log into, man. Like, I'm good. Like, this sportsgrid.com.
Yeah, check it. Twitter. Next thing you know, that you start following somebody else because you feel guilty because you follow. It's like a Seinfeld thing. It's like, well, they follow me. Now I've got
to I'm in.
What am I supposed to do? What
TikTok
kind of friend?
My daughter has. I do not have it. I'm aware of it.
As soon as the show's over, I'm going to find you and friend you just for the guilt.
I'm going to look and go, he's up here.
And I just, honestly, I tried to avoid Instagram for a while too, because I do Facebook and obviously the Twitter.
Right.
But it's, and I call it the Twitter because it's funny. But I really, really tried not to do Instagram. But unfortunately, last summer I had to for book purposes and show purposes.
This
is what you do. I mean, it's different people like different platforms.
I'm fighting it all the way.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, Instagram is the most low maintenance of any of them. So I could tell you that. And I think that's why people like it, because it's very low maintenance. It's like, here's a picture of something. That's it. There it is. It's a picture. Right. It's a video.
I hear that once you have Instagram, you could just spend so much time scrolling and looking at people's
pictures.
You
can, but you could scroll forever on Facebook too. It's less
advertising. I don't do Facebook either. That's what I'm saying. Like, I got this down.
I know I got this down. I wondered, I was going to ask you, but I know the answer now, but I always feel like if you've built yourself up on a platform, like I have 30,000 Twitter followers, right? I'm important. And then you join Instagram and you have 10. Okay. Like, do you feel like a lesser person? Cause I feel like,
I don't think so. I think
some people do. I kind of did for a second. I was like, wow. Cause you just started it. I mean, I just started the Instagram last year. And you have all these thousands of Twitter followers. You go, well, I guess I'm not important. You see somebody who's like, who's that idiot? Why do they have 500,000?
That's a fair point. But yeah, I don't think that I would feel that way about it, because I would use it just essentially to look at what everybody else is doing, not mine.
I think you should post, you know, pictures of you by the pool, workout videos. That's what your Instagram should be. Craig Mish living his best life.
Look at my new hair. Look at all my hair.
Oh, let me tell you, the hair is really, I mean.
Unbelievable. My wife's oh my gosh, you should never cut your hair short. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Really?
So I'm getting a haircut this weekend.
No, I think you should grow it all the way out, man. Yeah, I think it's great. Yeah. If the wife likes it, what are you doing? She wants to run her fingers through.
We are so far over on the segment. We're not even going to get to what we're supposed to.
That's all right. Let's get to it now. We'll do it.
All right. So. Let's get started here, Joe. This is our fantasy stadium tour. We've hit on all the good ones, probably. I mean, that's just
great.
That's
I'm so happy to be here. Way to go.
Sorry. We've hit on a lot of the good ones here. There's still a lot of good ones left, and now we're starting to get into a lot more college than we did pro. We nailed all the pro, pretty much. Going on for a while now here. We're a month of doing this.
I get the bad birthdays. You couldn't say one good thing for me?
Well, I think there are good players on this list. So let's take a look at it here. We're going to start off with Georgia Bulldog football here. The University of Georgia. Sanford Stadium in Athens, Georgia, opened up in 1929. It's our third straight stadium this week that opened up before 1930. It's pretty amazing. And, of course, home of the Georgia Bulldogs. So before we take any step further, Joe, Georgia, of course, in the SEC. And, you know, certainly pounds out a lot of great talent every year. But the fact that since 1929, as you saw there on the graphic, they only have two college football championships. They've always been right there, but they've sort of been unable to kind of take it to the next step. That's why Mark Richt ended up leaving. They kind of ran him out for only winning every single year he was there, but didn't win a lot of college football and no college football championships. So he ended up leaving. And now Kirby Smart is there and seems to be doing a good job. But when you think of Georgia, you know, you think of, wow, look, they got passed up by Florida. They won a few championships. Wow, they got passed up by LSU. They won two. You got passed up by Alabama. You know, so still a very prestigious university, but not quite the amount of cachet as some of the other SEC schools.
No, and, you know, you also have to wonder, some of those great Georgia Bulldog teams, had there been a college football playoff, would that number be greater? They might have been. You know, some of those teams were right on the precipice. But it is kind of shocking when you see that, too. And such a storied franchise of college football like Georgia, that you think more than two, but no, it's just the two. But I always think of the running backs when I think of Georgia. That's what I think. What comes to mind, it's like, especially in recent years too, you know, you've had Sony Michel, you've had Gurley, Nick Chubb, just in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years alone. And you got DeAndre Swift this year. And then you go back a little while to Terrell Davis, to Rodney Hampton, Sean Moreno. I mean, this is, and of course, I haven't mentioned the biggest one, which I know is going to be on your list, but I mean, to me, Georgia, it's who's the running back. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to know. It's kind of been the identity. You know, sometimes it's the, you know, who's the quarterback of this team? Who's the linebacker at USC? Who's the middle linebacker? Well, who's the running back of Georgia? That's how I think of them.
Yeah. And the criteria for this, Joe, essentially is not how they played in the NFL. It's how they played in college.
Sure.
So All those names are great, by the way, that you brought up, and especially Terrell Davis, who would have been on my honorable mentions. But the reality is that
Hall of Famer.
a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Yeah. But what the reality is that a lot of these players that from about the 90s on just simply didn't stay in school beyond their junior year, so they don't rack up the stats like some of the other guys did in the past. And listen, maybe that's something I'll have to readjust, but simply put, Chubb, basically on the scene for 2 years, Sony Michel on the scene for 2 years. And so not iconic Georgia Bulldogs, but clearly you're right, a lot of great running backs that played there. So we'll start off, and here we go. Here are the all-time great Georgia players. We'll start off with Frank Sinkwich, who I had no idea existed until I looked him up. Honestly, transparency, was a Heisman Trophy Award winner with Georgia.
There you go, Sinkwich.
Back in the 40s. Okay, so there you go. That's who he is. But if we're doing our research here and we're putting guys in there that were legends there, this guy won a Heisman.
Hey, on Diamond Bets, we talked about Pie Trainer the other day being the best third baseman of the Pirates because he just is. I don't know how long we were going to talk about Pie Trainer.
Yeah, it's just the answer. You have to be fair and you have to do it right. So, and listen, sometimes I mess up. This is my list, obviously. Herschel Walker, you see the picture of him there, 1980 Heisman Trophy winner, college football champion, top pick overall. I mean, what are you going to say? He's one of the best college running backs of all time in Herschel Walker. Of course, not a great NFL career as he did in college, but we're focused here on college, and he's probably the best Bulldog of all time, too.
Well, certainly the most identifiable, I would say, too. And here's the other question about Herschel Walker, too. You know, he did have some great moments in the USFL, too. Do you think the Herschel Walker professional legacy got hurt by the fact that part of it was spent in the USFL?
No, I think that trade hurt him. I think that was the crusher. Yeah, how could anybody possibly live up to a trade like that? It arguably goes down as the worst trade in the history of the NFL, essentially. I mean, it was the Vikings building the Cowboys for championships.
Yeah.
Herschel Walker was okay with Minnesota. Don't get me wrong. He was still okay. But come on, man.
He was okay. It was also later in his career, and he had some mileage on him by then. But I think you also think about, we've seen teams do that, and not quite to that extent, but I got to give Jimmy Johnson and them credit because they hit on so many of those picks, too. I mean, that the batting average on those picks of Jimmy Johnson over those 2 years that he got for Herschel Walker, that was staggering how good they were.
We got David Pollack, who was the all-time tackles leader at Georgia, played 4 years there. He's got to be here. Champ Bailey, there's some folks who feel Champ Bailey is the best player ever at Georgia, period. Mm-hmm. Played both sides, offensively and defensively, and Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, everything. A.J. Green was an absolute stud in college at Georgia. It's kind of between him and Terrence Edwards, I think, maybe for the best wide receiver ever there. And then Matthew Stafford will cap off with him, although, again, there is some debate that David Green had a better college football career than Matthew Stafford at Georgia. So that's what I got here, Joe. You gave some good other running backs, too. Rodney Hampton's another one that I think people forget about because, again,
he was good.
So long.
He was good in college, though, Rodney Hampton. I'm curious about A.J. Green, since it's kind of relevant with the draft coming up in just a few hours. Do you see now A.J. Green kind of, he had a year off, basically. I know it was an injury, but we all know it was like an injury with an injury.
Right.
Maybe
10 weeks of injury.
Maybe just kind of sat around a little bit for the rest of it, not wanting to put himself in harm's way. But, is this a spot here where we get a rebound here with A.J. Green, or are you kind of out of the A.J. Green business? Because I think personally,
I would love for him to stay in Cincinnati, but mm-hmm. It doesn't seem realistic.
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be tough because you have Mixon holding out, A.J. Green not sure what's going on with him. He says he wants to be there. I mean, Joe Burrow's kind of coming into a tricky situation there, but then again, that's what you get for, a one-win team, right?
Remember when we did the fantasy football show, we talked about Mixon holding out? That's playing out, huh?
Yeah. Oh, and Dalvin Cook is next, my friend. Those are the two we kept talking about.
I don't see how Dalvin Cook will play either.
No, and you know what? Here's the thing. The Vikings have more leverage there, I think.
It's going to be harder for Cook, but Mixon's going into his last year, so,
Well, look, Mixon should hold out. Mixon will hold out, and I think that if you are the Bengals, you want to get that deal done because the best way to support the young quarterback is to give him a believable running game. Whereas Dalvin Cook, where's the leverage there with Minnesota, with Madison there? I don't get it.
And he's been hurt. Okay. Let's go over to college basketball here and our iconic stadium of the day, iconic team of the day. is the Duke Blue Devils, of course, of Cameron Indoor Stadium, Durham, North Carolina. They opened up that stadium in 1940 and home of probably the most popular college basketball team of all time. If it's not Duke, perhaps it's Kentucky. Kentucky we did a couple of weeks ago, and they've won 5 NBA championships. And so, look, whenever you think of Duke, Joe, I mean, it is synonymous with winning. It's more synonymous with their head coach, Mike Krzyzewski, for sure, who will go down as probably the best college basketball coach of all time, I would assume.
Yeah.
Nobody likes Duke, though. Everybody kind of loves to hate Duke.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, a lot of people hate what they wish they had. You know, a lot of people hate the Patriots. People hate – it's funny. They love a good Cinderella story success, but they just don't want you to be great every year. And I don't get that. I mean, excellence
– But yet more people are watching this Bulls documentary than
– Right. Well, you know, it's funny. I feel like the Bulls are one of the few that kind of transcends that, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the kind of player Michael Jordan was, how fun he was to watch. But it's funny. I feel like the Bulls dynasty almost transcends some of these others in the sense of likability factor. You know, I mean, a lot of people like the 70s Steelers. Yeah. Well, I feel like basketball kind of lends itself to that one great shining star more than almost any other sport, because the guy with the ball in his hand changes everything. And for this, obviously for the Duke players here, there were a couple of those guys who made that happen.
Yep. All right, here's the iconic Duke basketball players, essentially of all time. We've got 1 through 5 here. We'll run them down and then break it down. Danny Ferry, number 1, for sure. All-American 3 straight years at Duke. Championship 2. Christian Laettner hit one of the biggest basketball buckets of all time, too. Champion with them. Grant Hill, College Basketball Player of the Year, champion as well. Bobby Hurley, through those years, was the best point guard in college basketball. Mm-hmm. Certainly his pro career, not quite the same, and had a very bad injury in a car accident, too. And then Shane Battier will cap off the top 5. And I feel like this is a pretty solid top 5. I don't feel like I really left anybody out.
No, I think it's a great
top. Outside of putting Krzyzewski on a list here.
No, it's a terrific list here. The I Hate Christian Laettner 30 for 30 documentary is fantastic for anybody who hasn't seen it. Even if you're not a college basketball fan at all, like I'm not a big college basketball guy, it's fantastic. You got to watch it. It's a must watch. And with Grant Hill and Bobby Hurley, I think those are two guys in the what ifs, kind of like we talked about Troy Aikman in hour one, where, you know, you wonder, okay, what if he didn't have that injury? What if Grant Hill had stayed healthy? Grant Hill was an all-world talent, and that was a guy that just every year there was some injury that caused him to miss significant time, and it was
after the
Pistons,
was
sad.
He went to Orlando.
It was sad to watch that kind of disintegrate because he had so much ability. And look, Bobby Hurley, you know, from one of the great basketball families, too. Let's not forget that. And Laettner, another guy, too. Laettner played on the Dream Team, for God's sakes. A lot of people forget that. This guy played on the Dream Team.
I had the Burger King Cup.
Who was the other college player, right? Was he the only one, or were there 2?
He was the only one.
It was just Laettner, right? Yeah. One guy, college player, Christian Laettner, played on the Dream Team, and then he never really became a great NBA player, which is kind of sad. Okay. He was all right. Had a good career, but not the star that he was in college, you know?
Yeah, Jay Williams would have made the honorable mention.
That's a good one.
Carlos Boozer is another one. And Trajan Langdon, who was really not an NBA player, was just a great shooter at Duke and played on their championship teams as well. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We'll take a quick timeout right here on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back next, it's time for our final look at some player draft positions for tonight's NFL draft. We're going to dive into offensive line and defensive line and give you the odds on about 5 or 6 of those, and you can get involved right now by just logging on to FanDuel right now. Go to the FanDuel Sportsbook, and if you have an opinion on any of those, you want to get down some money and you live in a place where you can actually play on FanDuel, like New Jersey, West Virginia, Illinois, Indiana, some of the places where they have FanDuel, head on over to there, get yourself involved in the NFL draft tonight. We'll be back with more Fantasy Sports Today in just a couple of minutes. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia in for Joe Ranieri, and we're back right after this commercial break.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia with you here on the show. We got the NFL draft coming up tonight. We're going to dive into all of the odds for offensive linemen and defensive linemen as to where or where they may not be taken. Before we do that, Joe, what did you think about this story yesterday that broke late that golf is back in the month of May, and it's going to be some iteration, according to Darren Rovell, of Phil Mickelson versus Tiger Woods and Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning and what they're calling Champions for Charity. It is a live event, so that is cool, and I'll stop there.
Well, depending on how good or bad you are at golf, I guess, is the social distancing, right? If I'm hitting balls in the rough somewhere, then I'm nowhere near anybody if I'm not near the fairway. Look, I think anything that anybody could do right now for charity is great. I know for the Black Book, we tried to help out the New York City Food Bank this past weekend, trying to raise some money there. We've done a lot of charities this year. But look, obviously what's going on, some serious things right here. I lost somebody that I used to work with. If you live in this New York, New Jersey area, everybody knows somebody, either personally, that has either had it or dealt with it or has lost somebody from it or all of the above. So I think it's great that these guys are going out there and doing something to raise some money for good causes and trying to help people out. And just, you know, a shout out to all those people on the front lines, not just the healthcare workers, but also all those people who are working those grocery store jobs in the front lines. You know, those they don't pay as much as the doctor jobs. And I think those are the people too. We got to give them a lot of credit. Those gigs in there, those food service jobs. We want to thank those people too who are keeping food on the tables for a lot of people here in this country right now.
Yeah. Very well said there. So we'll check out this Champions Golf Tournament.
Put your money on. Let's turn it into betting. Come on,
they'll be away, I'm sure.
I would
take Tiger Woods, of course.
It's Tiger and who? It's Tiger and...
It's just Tiger versus Phil and Brady.
Oh, I thought they were like a team. That would have been fun.
I don't think so.
I want the pros versus Joes or semi-pros. I think that would be fun. Yeah. You know, let's get John Smoltz out there. He's the Mr. Golf guy. Let's get him out there golfing for charity.
Yeah, Smoltz is great. Let's see. Yeah, it's on TNT, by the way.
There you go. See, more things to watch. When the NFL draft's over... Bingo.
But we're focused on the draft for tonight, so let's get back to that. Right. Okay. All right, so here we go, Joe. We're going to go through 1, 2, 3 offensive linemen here and a couple of defensive linemen.
Okay.
Everyone seems to be predicting the most offensive linemen ever taken in the first 10 picks. We'll see if that plays out tonight. We don't know that to be a fact, but let's just kind of walk it through, Joe, and love your opinions on these guys here. So let's start off with Tristan Wirfs. And you're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook odds right now. They're sitting at 8.5. The over is plus 125, so that would be later than pick 8, essentially. You would be risking 100 to win $125. And then we have the under 8.5 at minus 145. Most people feel Wills will be the first lineman picked. But Wirfs and Andrew Thomas are both in the conversation. But let's lead off here with Wirfs, Joe. You have an opinion on this one way or the other.
I do. I think if the Giants stay at 4, that he's their guy. I really do. I think Wirfs slides in really well there, the tackle side. God knows they have a hole there and have for some time. Yeah, their experiments they've tried have not worked. So I actually think that he is going to go at number 4 overall if the Giants don't trade out. And there's a 75% chance that they stay right where they are. And I think he's going to be their guy. So I actually think this is an opportunity here. That's where I would go. What are your thoughts here on Wirfs?
It sounds right. I mean, I think that there's a chance that Wills could be their guy too. I think there's no doubt that a couple of offensive linemen are going. And Does anybody really have a sense what Detroit is planning on doing?
Does Detroit have a sense with Detroit? That's the problem with Detroit. I think they're going to go cornerback. I would say Okuda's probably their guy.
And it seems like, but...
It seems like it.
No smoke with them at all.
No, but I mean, I don't think Matt Patricia's a smoke kind of guy. I mean, they got the 3 pick. Basically, you know the 1 and 2. So basically, you get whoever you want. I mean, it's a really unique draft in that sense. There's a definitive 1-2. And then after that, it's like, okay, it's kind of open season and it's kind of needs. And you mentioned about offensive line in this draft. I think it's because we have so many good young quarterbacks right now that everybody's realizing that's the investment and we have to protect the investment if we're going to be successful. If a quarterback goes down, so too goes the organization, so too goes the season. So it's more important than ever to make sure you get these O-line picks right, and luckily it's a pretty good draft for them in the first round.
Yeah, and it's not always like that. And
you know, no,
that's
it's not.
That's why sometimes, you know, these offensive linemen go first overall. And look, that could definitely be a factor in it. But in this particular case, I think that there's a lot of them. And I think that a lot of them will go high.
It's a good draft, and there's a lot of need. It's a good combination year to see that happen. Yeah.
Okay, let's go over to Jedrick Willis of Alabama. And he was a stud there, no doubt. His odds have essentially moved up to the point that there's some thought that he'd be the first offensive lineman taken off the board. I mean, looking at the numbers right here, over 8.5 is plus 180. So you risk 100 to win 180. But look at this under 8.5 at minus 220. Now, this is not indicative of the 4th pick or the 5th pick. Again, we're just dealing with 8.5 here, which is what FanDuel has posted. But there's no value, Joe, whatsoever in going under 8.5 here. So you would have to basically, you know, throw a dart and hope that he slips a little bit in the draft, but it doesn't seem to.
Yeah, and that's why it's a stay away for me, because I don't think he's going to go later than 8. I think Arizona at 8 there is a perfect spot for him. You bring in DeAndre Hopkins, you got Kyler Murray, you got Fitzgerald, you've got Kenyon Drake in there, you've got a lot of offensive pieces. Now you got to protect the offense. You got to give Kyler Murray some time. I think Wills slides in perfectly there. So if he doesn't go 4, like you said, to the Giants, I can't see him getting past 8 unless there's some kind of weird trade thing that happens where people move around slots. So that being said, barring that aspect happening, I think you kind of stay away from this one if there's no money to be made on the under. Don't you agree?
Not really, unless they would change the number, like unless they would change it to 6.
If it was 6, then I think you can get involved in that, because if you do think worse than the guy.
I'm not putting minus 220 down on anything in the NFL draft.
Well, it's again, this is I feel like this is uncharted territory, because I don't think we've ever had.
Oh, definitely not to this degree.
To this degree. And I think it's kind of great. It's added another element to the draft hasn't really been there in the past. And it's already something that everybody loves to watch. And now there's a lot of action on it, too, which is terrific.
FanDuel had odds last year, but we were not doing odds of offensive and defensive linemen.
And I think this is going to be the beginning of the annual version of this, too.
Of course.
This is not going away. Yeah.
Okay, Andrew Thomas. Look, some people thought Andrew Thomas, Joe, was going to be the number 1 pick in the draft going into the 2020 college football season. Remember, Joe Burrow was nothing going into 2020. It was like Kyler Murray from the year before. It's not that Thomas had a bad year. It's just a couple of other guys played better than him.
Joe Burrow threw 60 touchdowns.
that's what happened. But look, Andrew Thomas was thought of going into the season as the number 1 college football player in the country. And now he's probably 2nd or 3rd, depending on how you feel about him. But blocked at a high level for 3 years at Georgia, and his number is 10.5, as you see there, and it's a plus 135. So if he goes later than 10 and you bet 10 bucks, you make a little bit of money. But what the odds are basically telling you is there's almost no chance that that's going to happen, because under 10.5 is sitting at minus 160. So again, if you lose out on a couple of these top offensive linemen, Joe, if that's how you feel, that they're top offensive linemen, then you end up with Andrew Thomas. And I have a hard time, you know, understanding how the evaluation could change so much on a player. I'm going to guess that something must have happened in the combine or toward the end of the season for Thomas at Georgia. But I would probably lean toward the under here. I mean, I would rather lay 160 to win 100 than lay 220, but neither of these really tickle me at all.
I think the interesting part here is I don't know if something that he did wrong. I just think it's, you know, certain guys maybe got to that same level as him or closer than people realize. And that happens every year. You know, there's always expectations going into any professional or college football season. And their expectations don't always mount up where there's guys, you know, I mean, look at last year. I mean, going into last year, a friend of mine took Kyler Murray in a super flex draft I was in before an industry guy before Aaron Rodgers went off the board. And I kind of looked at him, I was like, yeah, geez, man, I don't like Rodgers, but I don't know if I'd do that. And he wasn't wrong. So I think a lot of this Andrew Thomas action depends on what, how dumb you think the Cleveland Browns are. So he should not get past the Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns should take him. That he should be the guy there, and that's why the number is set at 10, because that's where I think the consensus, when you look at the Jeremiahs and all the guys that do this for a living, they kind of have him going somewhere in this range and typically to Cleveland. I would be very surprised if they didn't do this, but then again, would the Browns doing something stupid ever surprise you? No, of course not. So the one team that can throw a wrinkle into this is Jacksonville, because somebody could potentially, again, go into a deal with them where Jacksonville continues to move down and move out. And if they do, that'll be fascinating to watch. But I think he's a lock there at 10.
Okay.
And I mean, do you think this is something where he falls outside the top 10?
Doesn't seem like
it. It's hard to imagine.
Not telling you that.
Well, but I think also the need of the, you know, you could make an argument that he goes 4, right? You could make that argument. I don't know if it's a good one, but if you love that player more than Will,
don't like the evaluations after the season ends till now. I'm just not a fan of that. I'm a fan of what happened.
I'm not a combine guy. You know that. I'm an on the field. What did you do on the field? You know, I see a lot of guys who put up a lot.
That's why. I mean, we have the quarterback inflation again this year. I mean, Jordan Love was not a first round pick in anybody's draft board, Joe. Nobody had a first round.
I don't think he's a first round grade either as a quarterback.
But it's inflation, and you reach up, you got to get ahead.
I know, but here's the thing I'm going to say about Jordan Love. I when you told me he was a second round pick or a third round pick, I go, okay, you know, because I see the talent, I see the raw ability there, where you could pick him.
We talked about him during the football season.
Yeah, and I've seen the footage. I see. You know, when I do the quarterback evaluations, like I see good things there where you could get something out of it. I saw a lot of things where I like Josh Allen, and people told me I was crazy for liking Josh Allen. And yeah, he's not perfect. He's far from, but he's winning games in the NFL right now. So, you know, it's a different league right now. The athletic quarterback is what you want. It's where things are moving towards.
I know. I'm just saying, I'm just, okay.
I know. You're right. The draft rate has risen because
it's
the combines
just the inflation. It happens every day.
It does.
In fact, I think on our show, I said, here's what's going to happen. The season's going to end.
Yeah, you definitely said Jordan Love will be a number one, a first-round pick. You're right.
But he's not. So don't be surprised tonight if he doesn't go in the first round, because he doesn't belong in the first round.
I'm with you.
That's just the way it is.
I agree
with you. I don't even think Herbert belongs in the first round. But
You know what? I think I agree with you there, too, unless you are a team that's willing. Some teams are in a unique position where they're okay to wait. And I think Herbert's a guy that you could say, all right, well, we can wait a year or two. And I think they're willing to do that because next year's class, I think it's Trevor Lawrence and everybody else, right?
Yeah. I like Jalen Hurts, I would think, third best.
Hurts is another guy, too, that
I like him.
I feel like we're in the minority about this. Another project where you take this guy.
The guy won a championship at Alabama. He threw for a billion touchdowns at Oklahoma. What, because he's a little short? Oh, come on.
So is Kyler Murray. Last time I checked, like he's, you know what? That's another one, too, where I don't get why people are so negative there on Hurts. And if it's a size issue, I mean, Russell Wilson ain't that big. Kyler Murray's certainly not that big.
I would take Hurts over all of the other guys except for Tua and Burrow. And Tua
I'm with you.
Again, 1-1A.
You and I finally agree all these years. Look at this.
All right, finally. All right, have a great day. No.
Okay. All right, see you later, boys.
Okay, we're not done yet. Let's go back here. Defensive line. Let's go Derek Brown. 7.5, Joe. We're looking at a total here is +155. The under 7.5 is -180. So, another one where we don't have a ton of value here. We just kind of have to hope that he slips a little bit. And look, these are odds that are not going to be produced live, Joe. Once the draft starts, they're going to take them down off FanDuel because there simply is not going to be enough reaction time for the books this year. No one really knows what's really happening. But I would guess the under probably comes in. There are some that say he's going to be the 6th pick overall. But, I mean, I
go over. I'm going to surprise
you. Take a shot here? Yeah.
I think Jacksonville's where he ends up. If Jacksonville stays in that spot, or if he should fall to 9, somebody I could see moving up to take him. Because if you do think that it's going to be Tua at 5, if you do think it's going to be Herbert at 6, well then, okay, who's left there? Could Carolina take him there? Probably. Arizona's not, because they're looking for O-line help first and foremost. I think Simmons is what Carolina's looking for, because you want to fill that Luke Kuechly void. So I think 9 is where he lands, and I think you take that. I think this is an easy one, actually. I would think I'm more confident in this one than some of the others.
Yeah. All right, and let's close it out here, our final one of the show. Javon Kinlaw, 16.5, Joe. 16.5 is the total, minus 155 on the over, and plus 130 on the under. I didn't want to go any deeper than this.
No, look, I'll throw the dart. I'll say that's over. Awesome. I'll say over, but barely at 17 to the Cowboys. That's where I think.
I think when you start to get in this range, if you're going to bet.
Very wide
if you're going to bet tonight, take that 100 or 50 that you're going to put on Kinlaw and go toward the top and make a better decision. feel better about something near the top.
Or make a donation to charity for the food banks in New York.
I mean, if you get to that point, and look, it's the NFL draft. People think it's so easy to predict. Go take a look at the mock drafts from the experts the last few years. They're nowhere close to what they were going
in. They never are. And that's the fun of the draft.
Yeah. Of course it is, but this is guessing. Top 10 is a good way to, I think, start your night.
What's your gut tell you on Kinlaw? Mine says Dallas. If you had to put him in a landing spot, does one pop to you?
In general, I'm an under guy with betting games in sports. In the NFL draft, as I looked at these, my guess is all of them go later on. In a vacuum, I would take everyone and make them drop.
Yeah, I think Atlanta or Dallas. But then again, you know, you've got that string there where Denver and Atlanta both need corner help. I think Chaisson's going to go to Tampa. I really do. I think they're going to go with an edge rusher there. And then I think Kinlaw's going to be that guy, defensive tackle. And that to me, is where it ends up.
Good. All right. Well, I will be back with you guys tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern for our coverage of the 2020 NFL Draft. We have a lot of people involved in it. I'm just a very small piece. Whenever the Dolphins are on the board, and whenever the Dolphins are picking or something's going on with them, I'm going to pop in and out with our other great hosts that are there. That's the extent of it for me tonight in the draft. So make sure you tune in for all of that. You can catch Joe's show every weekend, Diamond Best with Matt Stryker. And Joe, thanks so much for filling in today. It's been great working with you as always. Great doing a show with you. And I wish you and your family all the best in terms of safety and health. And I'm sure we'll be doing something again soon.
You never know. You can't keep us apart, Greg Fish. You just like peanut butter and jelly, baby.
Minus 150 that we end up doing a
whatever.
Show.
Oh, we're always going to be the over, you and I. Always going to be over on shows you and I do.
Yeah, sure. Also, special thanks to Brett Levy for helping out today and doing a little bit more than usual today. Of course, with all the things that we have in draft preparation. And everybody here at Sports Grid has been awesome. Thank you guys for making sure that we put a good show for you guys on tonight. It's going to be great. I hope you guys tune in. Until then, for Joe Pizzapia, I'm Craig Mish. I'll see you tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern for our coverage here on Sports Grid and the Draft. Have a great night, everybody. See you.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I got to say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.